sin. Each one of us has it in our lives. Most of us struggle with one or two stubborn sins that just don't seem to want to go away no matter how hard we try. There's a reason for that. Because most of us are making one mistake, just one, that means that sin wins out every time. Would you like to know what that one mistake is? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to A Different Perspective. And yet today, we're going to discover how to eliminate that one stubborn sin that keeps robbing you of the abundant life that Jesus came to give you. Stubborn sin. Sin that we just can't shift. Sin that keeps on keeping on long after we'd hoped that we would have defeated it. Is a fact in many, many people's lives. And over the course of this week, we've seen that not only does God understand that, but he wants to give us weapons full of his divine power right in the middle of our weaknesses to defeat the stubborn sin, to defeat the devil. Jesus died and rose again to give us victory, to give us a new life. And so whilst stubborn sin is commonplace, it's not normal, and it's not what we're meant to be living with. In fact, this is something that God takes so seriously, he sends his only son, not just to die to pay for all our sin on the cross, but to rise again to give us a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if anyone believes in Jesus, then that person is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, all things are new. So while many a Christ follower is convinced that their particular brand of stubborn sin is just a fact of life, just something they have to live with for the rest of their days here on earth, that's a luxury that the gospel of Jesus Christ simply doesn't afford us. Jesus came to set us free from every sin. And today we're going to continue our look at the practical how-to. How do we lay hold of God's divine power to allow ourselves to be set free by God of sin, sin and its painful consequences? Now, this is something that frankly puzzled me for a long time. First, I thought I had to do it all, and so I fought against the devil, and I tried to resist him and overcome these temptations. But as strong-willed an individual as I am, it just didn't work. I ended up lying bloodied and beaten and discouraged and dejected on the battlefield. Okay, that didn't work. So I'll leave it all up to God. I'll sit back and I'll let God do it all. But let me tell you, the old spiritual couch potato model didn't work either. And it wouldn't amaze me at all to know that you've been there too, right? So the question is, how do we make it work? What's God's part? What's our part? Come on, how do we break free from the power of that one stubborn sin that keeps on defeating us? Well, yesterday we discovered that not only do accountants have double-entry bookkeeping, not only did Isaac Newton discover that in physics and in nature, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, but when it comes to defeating sin, this spiritual transaction too is double-sided. And it's in the double-sidedness of the transaction that we discover our role and God's role. If you were with us yesterday, you'll have heard this scripture, James chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, O sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Do you see the double-sidedness in this? It's not just about racing out and resisting the devil. That's a game we can't win at. First, submit yourselves to God. That's the God's side of the ledger. And then on the devil's side, at the same time, resist him. And the combination of those two things, submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil, mean that the devil has to flee, that he's defeated. That's because when we submit to God, listen to this, we lay hold of his power. And then, and only then, do we have the power to resist the devil. And once he sees that power at work, my friend, he's on his bike and out of there because he and all his demons must submit to the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the danger is that we leave it there and we don't get down and practical enough to give us something to take away to implement. So I want to get deeper today. I want to get into the how-to so that each one of us knows how to live out this submission to God and resist the devil. Submit to God plus resist devil equals devil must flee. And the solution is overcoming stubborn sin. The first example I want to give you is one that jumped out at me in a Bible study group. Have a listen. It's the Apostle Paul on death row writing to his friends at Philippi, telling them how not to worry. Listen and see if you can pick up the double-sidedness of God's solution to not worrying. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I remember sitting in a Bible study group, and we talked about worry, and people hedged around this, and they prepared to move on from it without taking God at his word. Worry is sin. People who trust in God needn't worry. Worry falls a long way short of living the life of abundant peace that God purchased for us on that cross. What this passage says is this. Look, here's the solution to overcoming the sin of worry. Instead of worrying, instead of spending your time doing that, replace that with praying and giving thanks to God and telling him your needs. First, submit to God. See what's going on here? This is God's way of dealing with the problem, the sin of worry. First, submit to him. Do it his way. Take the time that you would have spent worrying and instead use that same time to give thanks and to pray and to make your needs known. See, the devil loves throwing doubts up in our mind. He loves it when we're discouraged. How to deal with him? Submit to God. Do it God's way. And the promise is that when we do that, the promise of God is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What just happened here? God's weapon of divine power has been brought into play. We have a confidence that comes from God because we did this his way in faith. And so the devil ceases to have the power to fester this sin of worry. Now, stand in this newfound power from God and watch the devil flee. The secret is in proactively replacing the bad with God. Proactively stepping into this space and saying, no. This is from the devil. My only answer is to submit to God. Now I discover his divine power in my weakness. Now I can resist. Now the devil must flee. Let's have another quick look at another practical example. It has to do with the things we say that hurt other people. Have a listen again to the double-sided solution. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. How do I stop evil talk from coming out of my mouth? Do I just sit there and try and hold my tongue? No, that's not what this verse says. God's saying, instead, proactively replace it with my way. Instead, speak the things that are good and useful for building others up. Give them my grace when they hear your words. Replace the bad with God. Deliberately step in with God's way and not our way. When we're tempted to grumble, when we're tempted to pull someone down, let encouraging words come out of your mouth. The devil's power is lost. Then, having submitted to God, we can stand and resist the devil. Let me tell you, the way I learned this is simple. I sat down and thought about my weaknesses. I identified them. I looked through the Bible and found a simple verse to tell me when I'm in a situation where I'm prone to live out this particular stubborn sin, what is it that I can do to submit to God right there and then? And so when I found myself in that place, I decided to submit to God. I remembered God's word, and little by little, God changed me. Little by little, the devil had to flee. He had no choice. This is something that we can apply to any sin and any situation. It'd be just like God to make it simple, wouldn't it? God's word is so awesome and so powerful. His plan is to make his divine power available to you and to me to defeat the enemy and to overcome stubborn sin once and for all. So here are a few pointers to set you down the right path. Firstly, what's the stubborn sin in your life? Chances are you have one or two. Those sins that always come back again and again to bite you, to defeat you, and to harm you. Now, for each one of those, start looking through the Bible to discover one or two key verses that tell you what it means to submit to God when that particular sin rears its ugly head. Think about the situations you find yourself in where you're most prone to yielding to the devil and failing in this particular area of temptation. And now plan ahead based on those scripture verses as to how, when you're in one of those situations, you can react by submitting to God instead of the devil. I'm Bernie Diamond. You've been listening to A Different Perspective. Thanks so much for joining me. And let's see if we can't catch up again same time on Monday as we continue our look at overcoming stubborn sin in your life once and for all.